Welcome to the Revival Center. This message is entitled, The Clash of Two Cultures, by Pastor Clayton Manifold.
Praise the Lord. Good afternoon, everyone. Praise God. It's good for us to be in the house of the Lord again, whereby as a family, we could encourage, we could strengthen each other. Amen. The Bible calls us the body of Christ. So the Bible said that when one part of the body is in pain, is aching, you understand, we all rally around that person. And when the one person is rejoicing, we also rejoice with them. Amen? And so we have to always remember that we are family of God. And we have to love one another. Amen? We have to love one another. Even though sometimes we have our little faults, you understand, some of us have big faults. But the thing is that God loves us, and he said that, therefore shall men know that you are my disciples, as we have love one for another. And we cannot say that we do not have love, because the Bible said that the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. And so we have it. All we have to do is put it to work. Amen?
Amen.
So let us turn our Bibles, please, to Genesis chapter 1. And we read him from verses 26 to 28, and then we go over to chapter 2, and we read verse 16 and 17. Genesis chapter 1, reading from verses 26 to 28. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful, and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. And we go over to chapter 2, and we read in verse 16 and 17. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, from verse 15. And the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. So we stop there. So the title of my message today is The Clash of Two Cultures. The Clash of Two Cultures. And there is a culture of the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God. And within that kingdom, there's a culture of life. As Jesus said, I have come that you should may have life and have it more abundantly. And there's a culture of light. And light symbolizes the knowledge of God. And then there's the culture of darkness and death. And in this culture of darkness, darkness here symbolizes the ignorance or the absence of the knowledge of God. And we know death is not just physical, but death takes on and affects a lot of other areas of our life. And in this realm, there's a lot of deception. Amen? Because sometimes in the realm of darkness and death, people achieve things and they feel that that is all there is to life. And that's why the Bible tells David one time, David asks, why do the wicked prosper? And after the Lord showed him their end, because the Bible said there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof, there is destruction. Amen. So we can be successful in this culture of death and feel that is all there is to life. The Apostle Paul, when Paul met Jesus Christ, Paul was a successful man materially. He was a successful man according to his religion. But the Apostle Paul said, I have counted all these things as loss. I count them all as dung. Because for the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ. And it's not that the things in the world are not good, but we have to seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then allow all things to add unto us. All right? So when we talk about the word culture, culture influences every aspect of our life. Our customs, our heart, our attitudes, the way we speak, the way we dress, our belief system. Culture affects every area of our life. And so even we see that those of us who are from the Caribbean, from different islands, even though we're living in America, we still see the effect of that culture here. The way we speak, you know, our traditions, you understand? We have those with ackee and saltfish. We have those with the pepper pot. All right? We have the black cake culture. All right? The pilau. And what do you have, Sister Samantha? Is Samantha there? What in St. Lucia? Banana and saltfish. Okay. And all the other islands, and then we know the Americans, what the Americans like. Call it. Amen. Praise God. So we see that even though that we may have changed our physical or geographical location, there is still the influence of the culture on our lives. Amen? And so today we're talking about two cultures, and one of the cultures every one of us were born in. Because the Bible said that, you know, we were all born in sin and shaping in iniquity. So that culture of death and sin, we were all born into that. We inherited from Adam. All right? We see after man disobeyed and sin came in, the first family, we see that the husband was accusing the wife was accusing the husband. They were lying on each other. All right? One of the brothers, they kill another brother. And so from sin entering, there was problems. And there was trouble. And then the Holy Spirit departed, because the Holy Spirit could not have dwelt in an unholy condition. And so the Holy Spirit departed, and men now begin to, instead of living from the inside out, because the way God designed us is for us to live from the inside through His Spirit to our spirit, affecting our souls and our body. But when the Holy Spirit departed, you find no man begin to live from the outside in. And men begin to be controlled and influenced by the characteristics of his physical senses. And so if it feels good, or if it sounds good, or tastes good, and in those areas, and of course it was influenced also by the devil. Amen? And we see the effect of it even in the world today. Because you hear things like, you're not really alive until you drive this. You're not really alive until you eat this. You're not really alive until you visit a certain place. You're not really alive until you wear certain clothing. And so life has become very shallow to the human being. Because we begin to live from the outside in, and then it began to progress. And it over time, it got worse, that men begin to worship the creatures more than the Creator. Amen? So, in that culture, it is a culture of sin and death. The Bible said that man's heart had become deceitfully wicked. Right? Who can know it? And so, God, in Ezekiel chapter 36 and verse 25 to 27, God promised, God, as the prophet Ezekiel prophesied, that the day will come, God said, where I will sprinkle clean water upon you. Amen? Amen. And so, in other words, we will be washed. Paul said we are washed by the cleansing of the water of his word. He said, I will sprinkle clean water upon you. And he said, I'm going to take away the heart of stone. And I'm going to give you a heart of flesh. Amen? In other words, we will be born again. All right? And he said, I will place my spirit in you. Amen? And we know that after the day of Pentecost and the Holy Spirit came upon the church, hallelujah, we were filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen? So God had a plan, and that plan was Jesus Christ. The Bible said, behold, the Lamb of God, hallelujah, that was slain from the foundation of the world. So God had a plan to bring us back into fellowship with him and through the working of the Holy Spirit. Amen? And so the Bible said that we were delivered in Colossians chapter 1, verse 13. We were delivered from the powers of darkness and translated into the kingdom of his dear Son. And so in this translation, God has made us a new creature. And 2 Corinthians 5 verse 17 tells us that, behold, the whole things have passed away, because every man now that's in Christ has become a new creature, and whole things have passed away, and all things have become new. And so in this translation from the power of darkness into the kingdom of his dear Son, we have received a new nature. We've been born again. Amen? Amen? Amen. And so God has given us a new spirit. He declared us righteous. We stand before God justified. But the problem is, we ask ourselves, now we have become this new man in Christ. We have been given this new nature. We have been given this spirit. We are born again. But so why we find ourselves in so much trouble? Why we find ourselves in so much problem? Sometimes it is so difficult to live the Christian life. It seems like the culture of the kingdom of darkness has followed us. So we want to know what has become new. And what is whole? What has changed? So when we are born again, all right, Jesus talked about in John chapter 3, verse 3 to 8, that what is born of flesh is flesh, and what is born of spirit of spirit. That's when Nicodemus went to him and he told Nicodemus, I say unto you, you must be born again. All right? And so even though we receive this new nature, there's a part of us. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 17, it talks about there's a war that goes on between the flesh and the spirit. Let's turn our Bibles to Romans chapter 7, please. Romans chapter 7, and reading from verse 15. For that which I do allow not, for what I would, that I do not, but what I hate, that I do. And for many of us, we can say that. He said, if then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law, that the law it is good. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. Now where is the sin dwelling? Now we've been clean, we've been washed, we've been made new. But the Bible said that there is sin that is still dwelling in me. Verse 18 said, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. For the good that I would do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is not more, no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. And so he said, I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. And so we see here that there's a law that is present in me. And verse 18 tells us where it dwells in the flesh. So there's a part of us that is called the flesh. That even though we are born again and even though we are made new, there is still a part of us where the flesh operates. So the spirit is made new. The spirit is made perfect. But our soul, which comprises of our mind, our will and our emotion is still in the old state. Amen? And our body also is still in the old state. And so, the part of us that has not changed in our flesh and our body is what is called the flesh. And the flesh is continuously warring against the spirit. Amen? That it is trying to usurp authority over the spirit. The Bible said that the flesh is an enmity against God. And it said that no man in the flesh can please God. But so, verse 23 tells us that there's a law that is warring against the law of my mind. And that's where the problem is. So as the Bible said, as a man thinketh, you understand? So you see, so there's a war that takes place in the mind. And that's why in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 7, tells us that God said, in all that you get in, get understanding. All right? Because understanding causes you to receive the knowledge from the Word of God. Amen? So you have to get understanding. Right? The Bible tells us in Matthew, when Jesus was speaking about the sower, he said that when the seed that was sown by the wayside, those who did not understand, that immediately the devil, the fowls of the air, the evil one comes and take away what was sown in his heart. Because the devil knows that if you're able to understand the word and able to apply the word of God to your life, that you will be able to live a life of continuous victory. The devil knows that if you get a revelation of the word of God, you will become to get to understand who you are in Christ. And so the what we need to know is who we are in Christ. Amen. And then begin to act like the person God says that we are. And so the devil knows that. And so he tries in every way to get our minds messed up. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4, he said that the devil blinds, not the eyes, but he blinds the mind. All right? He blinds the mind. He blinds the mind. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 23, the Bible talks about being renewed in the spirit of your mind. All right? And so, the soul part of us, where the flesh that has not changed controls, the word of God, according to Romans chapter 12, verse 2, said that the transformation takes place as our mind is being renewed. Amen? The word of God is what renews our mind. That's where the transformation takes place. Our mind has to be renewed. So when our mind becomes renewed, our soul, our mind, our will, and emotions now comes under the influence of the Spirit of God. Amen? Because the war, the battle that takes place, that when we are born again, our spirit becomes brand new. But the soul is still controlled by the old culture. Amen? Our soul is still controlled by the old culture. We are still thinking the way we used to think before we were saved. And if we think like that, of course, we're going to act like that. But when the word of God transforms us and our minds get renewed in the word of God, we find out that the spirit is able to have control over the soul. And so when the spirit gets control over the soul, they're able to drag the body along. The body will have to fall in line, even though the body will come kicking and screaming at many times, but the body will fall into place. So when the body said, I am sick, I am feeling this pain, glory to God, the soul will be able to rise up now based on its connection to the word of God and said, no, by your stripes you are healed. Come on, church, we're talking about the word of God today. Amen. When the soul, amen, is able to come in light with the word of God, amen, and the body is telling, look, there is no money in the bank. I am broke. No, the soul will be able to rise up within the Spirit of God and say, God has already blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Hallelujah. We are not poor, but we are rich. Glory to God. We begin to declare what the Spirit of God says. So we have to get our soul aligned. And so when our soul is aligned, transformed by the word of God, now we begin access to the things of God. And that's why the Bible said that out of our bellies now begin to flow the rivers of living water. Because we get to understand that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. And so we begin to function and operate like who we are. But it's to get our soul right. It's to get our soul changed. It's to get our soul transformed by the power of God. And so that's where the war is. And that's where the culture clash comes in. You find many of us, sometimes we're in church for a long time, and we've been defeated over and over again. But it's not the devil. It's the flesh. It's the flesh. It's that area in our life that we call the flesh. And sometimes when we talk about the flesh, people only see the sexual sins because it's the body, but it's much more than that. Because what the flesh tries to do is to take the place of God. And so someone could be operating under that power of darkness in the flesh. As Paul said, let me see, I think in 1 Corinthians chapter 26. Let me see. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26. Let me see. Yes, so Paul is saying, "For you see your calling, brethren, oh, that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called." But 27 said, "But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things that are mighty." So you can be in the flesh and be mighty. You can be in the flesh and be noble. Amen? So there are certain traits in the flesh that could make you think that you're doing so well and that you're successful. Because what they try to do is to take the place of God. Amen? God said he's a healer. The flesh would say, listen, we don't need God because we have the doctors. And they shut God out. Amen? People have come to the place today because of this fleshly nature and attitude to say, well, okay, it's my own knowledge, my own wisdom caused me to achieve this. And so there is no need for God. And so that's the flesh. It's trying to take up the place of God. And that's why the Bible says the flesh is enmity against God. Because it tried to take the place of God. Amen. Instead of taking on the image of Christ, we take on an image because of our family background. This is my family. This is my family. This is our generation. And we are this and we are that. But all leads to death. All leads to death. Amen. And so in Romans chapter 8, verse 29 tells us that we have to be conformed to the image of Christ. And that is where true life resides. And so that's what Jesus said, I have come that you may have life, and not only have life, but have it more abundantly. Amen? So we have to come to the place where we overcome this fleshly nature. Amen? So I'm saying today that, you know, you may be doing bad things, but that does not make you bad. That is not who you are. It's just because really you do not know who you are in Christ. Amen? And so, as I said before, that when we do not understand, immediately the devil comes and steals from our very hearts the seed of the word that is planted there. He steals it. You understand? And so we have to be careful and make sure that we get understanding. And the understanding, of course, comes through revelation to the Holy Spirit, because God has not left us alone. That's one of the reasons why he gave us the Holy Spirit. The Bible said that the Spirit of God is able to lead us into all truth. Because what the devil does when we do not understand the word of God, when it is preached, And I'm saying today, many of us, some of us may leave here today. And I'm saying, please understand. And that's why sometimes, you know, we have to take our time and teach the Word of God so you can understand. Because when you do not understand, the devil replaces the truth with a lie. That's how the Word of God has been stolen from your heart. The truth has been replaced with a lie. And so, he came to Eve, he said, "But did God really said? No, you will not surely die." Replacing the Word. And when you operate in that fleshly nature, she became deceived. Because what the devil told her, that this fruit that God said, if you eat it, you're going to die, it looked good to the eyes. Amen? The senses begin to clicking. And it is desire to make one wise. And it seems good for food. And all those were appealing to the fleshly or side of us. And it's the same thing today. We have to be able to live from the inside out. Amen? That's the way God designed us. And if we are able to live from the inside out, number one, we will have peace with ourselves. As we were talking in the office this morning, that for those, the Lord said he will keep us in perfect peace for those whose mind are stayed upon him. That even though there's things that is going wrong about us and things are not right, hallelujah, when we understand the Word of God and know who we are in Christ, we can still be in peace. Yes. Amen? He will keep us in perfect peace, those whose minds are stayed upon him. And that's one reason why he told Joshua in Joshua 1 verse 8 to meditate upon the Word day and night. So that you could get understanding, you could get the revelation. He said, and then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Amen? Praise God. So we need to understand today that the Word of God is the thing that transforms us. Amen. If we are lacking peace in our homes, we need to get back to the Word of God. If there's confusion in the home, you see that things are not going right. Look at it, is the flesh at work? The flesh is at work. Don't even worry to blame the devil. It's the flesh. It's the enemy within you. But as you begin to feed upon the Word of God, and the Word of God is able to transform, renew your mind, it brings you to the place now where you begin to behave and act like Christ. Hallelujah. When you be able to love those that even do not love you, do not like you, you're able to love them. Amen. The Word of God is able to transform you. Amen. So that's what the one reason why for starting, we cannot be in church and have an enemy in here. You understand? That's impossible. That is ungodly. That is devilish. You cannot be in church and you say that there are people that you're not talking to. No. That's an ungodly spirit. You're controlled by the flesh and not of God. Yes. Amen. We may not have the same understanding of things. We may have our differences. But hey, God is at work in us. And the Bible said that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. We have the greater one on the inside. Glory to God. Hallelujah. That's what Jesus said, that when the Holy Ghost has come, he said, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. Glory to God. This river of water, this river of life will flow from our inside. We have it. Amen. So whatever problems that we are confronting today, I want to encourage us, church, let us examine ourselves. The Bible said that if we judge ourselves, we shall not be judged. Amen. So we line up ourselves with the Word of God. So even though that our spirit man is new, and we are, when we stand before the God, we can declare that we are the righteousness of God. We are a new creature. We are a new creation. We have been born again. But our soul need to be changed. That memory of the old man. We are not the old man and a new man. No, we are a new creature in Christ. But what we have is the memories of the old man that is still very present. So we need to replace that. Yes, Pastor, it is warring against our spirit. It is trying to take up position. It's trying to take authority over our spirit. And when that happens, we begin to malfunction. And it begins to even affect our bodies physically. We become sick. Amen. So we have to renew our mind. And when our minds have been renewed, then we declare what the Word of God says. We do what the Word of God says. This is what the Bible calls walking in the Spirit. And as I read, when we read in Genesis, when God created Adam and Eve, they were given a commandment to, God placed them in the garden and he said, dress it and keep it. And as we were teaching in the Christian education class this morning, that because Eve, they become idle. And the devil will always find work for idle minds. They became idle. God said to them, this is the garden here, dress and keep it. Become doers of the word. If we are doing the things that God has called us to do, we will not be engaged, hallelujah, in sin. But when we are not doing what we are supposed to do, and we are idle, the enemy comes alongside. And he begins to whisper in our ears. And we begin to see things in a different light. Amen. And there are some things that used to look so different to us before, when we were engaged and busy in the things of God, now suddenly they become attractive to us. And we want to partake. That's a sign that the flesh is taking preeminence in our life. So my encouragement to us today, church, let us get caught up in the things of God. Let's dress the garden and keep it. There's enough work for us to do in this church. There's enough things for us to be involved in. Amen. Let's dress and keep this garden. Then we would not have time to partake of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Hallelujah. We wouldn't have time for foolishness. Hallelujah. So we will be walking in the Spirit. We'll be doing the things of God. We will be praying. Hallelujah. We will be in prayer meeting. We'll be in Bible study. We'll be seeking the things of God. I just want to encourage us today, church. Hallelujah. We need to be transformed. We need to be conformed to the image of Christ. Praise God. But there is this clashing of the culture. The Bible called us a new man. All things are passed away. All things have become new. We are a new man in Christ. That's who we are. And so the Bible tells that when we look into the Word of God, it's like we're looking into a glass, beholding His glory. And as we behold the glory, we are changed into the same glory, transformed by the Word of God. In other words, as we get revelation, you understand? Revelation through the Holy Spirit. That's what brings revelation to us, the Holy Ghost. Without the Holy Ghost, all we're receiving is information. Amen? So what we need is the revelation through the Word of God. And when we receive the revelation, we do what the Word of God says. Amen? And one thing that we have to understand, that, you know, God don't put us over. In God's class, in God's school, you don't get put over by age. They used to do that back home. If you spend 2 years in the class, they promote you. That's how they used to do in Guyana. And so you have some people struggling, and afterwards you don't want to come to school anymore. You understand? Because you don't understand what's going on. You understand? And so they're beating you to go to school and you don't want to go. You understand? Because you get put over. God don't do it like that. We have to pass through. You understand? And so he said he takes us from glory to glory to glory. Right? He takes us from glory to glory. So we have to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. We have to be able to live our life from the inside out. We have to allow the Holy Spirit, who is the Lord of all, to be in such close connection with our spirit. And then our soul that has been transformed is able to receive instructions from the spirit. And so they get able to affect our entire body. And so we could able to be this new man in Christ. Let's clap our hands and thank God for the word of God today. Let us stand up, please. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's just thank God for his word today. Hallelujah. Let us thank God for his goodness today. Let's just pray that the word of God can transform our lives.